Thank you, Jack. If you have a Bible, could you please turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. We'll begin with the text there in just a few moments. Appreciate those songs this evening. I remember Trevor mentioning some time back that that song, He Bore It All, some have a tendency to think, well, it's excitement about describing his death. But I think of it as victory, you know, because it is the idea of victory that is accomplished in the death of Jesus Christ. Certainly if he just died and was not resurrected, then that would be a sorrow and that would be a horrible kind of thing. But the end of the story is that he was resurrected, and it is a song of victory. In John chapter 10, I'd like for us to look at a text this evening, and I would encourage you to have your songbook ready. We're going to not only look at some scriptures, but we're going to sing a few songs this evening that are connected with the lesson that we want to look at. And I'd like for us to start in John chapter 10. Begin with me in verse 11 and read down to verse 18, and we will use that to set the tone for our lesson this evening. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, Jesus speaking here. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this time at the close of this day that we can come together, we can open your word, we can sing songs of praise to your name. And thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to come before your throne of grace and mercy through the avenue of prayer. Your Father, we recognize that we are simply sheep. We recognize that we are unworthy of the love that you have shown us in sending Jesus, not only as the sacrifice on our behalf, but as the shepherd to guide us. Dear Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for those times when we have failed you, those times when we have sinned and violated your law, those times when we have not shown you the love and the respect and the obedience that we should. Dear Father, I would pray that you'll be with us as we are a flock and as we interact with one another. Help us, Father, in the love that we show to each other, and help us when we perhaps fail in those areas. Help us never to allow Satan to gain the victory in our failures and to allow sin to lead to more sin. Dear Lord, we are grateful for all the blessings that you give to us. Our hearts go out to the Weathers family. Our hearts are with Elisa as well and her baby. And we pray that you will bless the hands that care for her and help them to have wisdom in the choices that they make and the way in which they provide for her. Be with us for a few moments now, Father, as we look to your word. Help us to put from our thoughts the cares of this world and to focus on the truth of the fact that Jesus is our shepherd, that good shepherd that leads us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like for us this evening, as we spend a few moments together, to talk about the theme that's introduced in this reading, that Jesus is characterized as the Good Shepherd. And I want to simply make four observations from this text and some that surround it a little bit before this text about what that means to us. And I'd like for us to note, first of all, from the reading that we looked at from verse 14, it is evident that Jesus knows his sheep. Turn in your songbooks, if you would, to number 272. Number 272. And I'd like us to sing together this song that speaks to us about this very idea that we just read about in John chapter 10. That Jesus is our shepherd. He loves us more than anyone ever has. He loves us and He knows us through and through. And we can take great comfort in that. Let's sing together number 272, Jesus the Loving Shepherd. Jesus the Loving Shepherd calleth thee now to come into the fold of safety where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood. Come in the morn of youth. Enter the fold of safety. Enter the way of truth. Lovingly, tenderly calling is He. Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting there, standing I see. Jesus, my Shepherd divine, Jesus, the loving Shepherd, His dear life for thee. Tenderly now He's calling, wanderer, come to me. Haste, for without is danger. Come, Christ the Shepherd blessed. Enter the fold of safety, enter the place of rest. Lovingly, tenderly calling is He. Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting there, standing I see. Jesus, my Shepherd divine, lingering is but folly. Wolves are abroad today, seeking the sheep who're straying, seeking the lambs to slay. Jesus, the loving Shepherd, calleth thee now to come. Enter the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Lovingly, tenderly calling is He. Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see. Jesus, my Shepherd divine. Jesus is our Shepherd. He knows the sheep. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3. And I'd like for us to note some things about this idea of Jesus knowing us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, I want us to notice a text that really addresses this same idea. God knows us. God knows our faithfulness. He knows our rebellion. He knows our struggles. He knows our difficulties. Notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, if anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. Now, I think this obviously is talking about very, very much the same idea that John 10 described, where it described the shepherd knowing the sheep. I've heard stories about shepherds that they maintain a very close relationship with their sheep. They know the different difficulties and struggles that the sheep have. As we think about that in terms of our relationship with God, we must understand that it's more than simply that knowledge that God has of all human beings. Here specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, you'll notice that there is a condition connected with that. If anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. That's describing a special relationship, a special type of knowledge that Jesus, as our shepherd, has towards us. Now, the condition that is mentioned here is if anyone loves Him. You know, in our world, a lot of times people will say, well, you know, I love all sorts of things, or I love this person. We'll see parents that will describe their love for children being demonstrated when they fail to show them discipline. The Bible describes that as not really loving a child, but hating a child. The Bible will describe that love that is shown within a family. You know, in the world, people will say, well, you know, I know I made this marriage relationship, but I fell in love with this other person and I love them. Well, that's a hatred towards the one that you've made a commitment towards. And it's not really the kind of love that's pleasing to God. In Scripture, we understand that love, as it is properly defined, must be accompanied by particular actions. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll notice this in a very clear statement that the Apostle John makes that helps us understand. If we love God, if anyone loves Him, this one is known by God. We are a part of that flock that the shepherd knows. But notice 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Now, we cannot for a moment ever say, well, the grace of God is such that I can disobey His law and I can disobey Him, but I still love Him and He still loves me. His love has been demonstrated in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Our love must be demonstrated in our faithfulness to His commandments. Now, we may stumble, absolutely, and we may sin and do those things that are wrong. But if you look back in the beginning of this book, back in chapter 1, we are told what we must do when we have sinned against Him. If we sin, we must confess that sin. We must repent and turn away from that sin. It is very clear that when we are talking about this desire to be known by God, we must love God and we must keep His commandments. Go back to John chapter 10 with me for a moment. And I want us to look a couple of verses before where we began in our reading initially. In John chapter 10, let's take a look at verse 9. And I want us to notice another element that is involved in Jesus as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd provides for sheep. Now, we understand that what that means for a shepherd in Middle Eastern terms is the shepherd that would lead his sheep to a place where they could graze. That's the provision that he would give for them. He would lead them into a place where they could go to still water, not running water that would be so fast it would threaten them, but a place where they could go and they could drink. Read with me, if you would, in John chapter 10, and let's take a look at verse 9. And notice what it tells us about our good shepherd. Notice, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture." Notice, finding pasture, that's not just a way of describing, well, someplace to go and lay down or someplace to go and relax. That's provision. He'll be able to have the provision that is necessary. Think about that for a moment as we think about Jesus as our good shepherd. Turn in your songbooks to number 375. Number 375, the Good Shepherd provides for His sheep. Let's sing together number 375, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. He leadeth me. The quiet waters by, my soul He doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. Within the paths of righteousness, within the paths of righteousness, in for His own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear not ill, for Thou art with me.
For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. Keep my table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, my head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore, and in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be.
Jesus, as the good shepherd, provides for us. You know, the question is that how in fact does that happen? Well, certainly we recognize as the Creator, we must understand that His provision is both physical in nature. We understand that there is not a physical benefit that we can enjoy that we cannot directly trace back to our Creator. But more importantly than that, we must understand that as the loving shepherd, as the one that, as we'll talk about in a few moments, lays down His life for the sheep, He has provided for us spiritually. There are a few passages that are very familiar to us over in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. The description is given of how exactly it is that He provides for us spiritually. Is it just partial? Does He just give us some good things spiritually? Can we get some things from Him and some things maybe from another source? No. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Notice, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have the provision that we need for Him spiritually and only through Him. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, another passage that is very familiar to those of us who are Christians. We recognize here specifically a way in which we can identify the source of those spiritual blessings. 2 Peter chapter 1, also in verse 3. Notice picking up in the middle of a thought that starts in verse 2, saying, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. I call to your attention a couple of things in both verse 2 and in verse 3. And that is the connection between the knowledge of Him that can grant to us these things. Did you notice that? These things are multiplied to us in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. These things that pertain to life and godliness come to us through the knowledge of Him. Now, is this like the Gnostics believe that, well, you can just tap in somehow to some sort of secret knowledge that nobody else knows and somehow you can have this special relationship with God? Well, not exactly. You know, it is true that knowledge is not found anywhere else except in Christ Jesus. But we're not talking about something that only a select group of people, only a few really wise can discern and figure it out. We're talking about something that's available to all. But notice the knowledge of Him describes ideas that we accept and we put within us. Ideas in human communication in general are passed on through words. Think about that. It is very clear that He provides for us through His Word, and it is through His Word that He leads us to salvation. What a beautiful thing that Christ acts as our shepherd. Go back to John chapter 10. And I'd like us to note in John chapter 10, near the beginning of the chapter, I want us to notice a few other things that Jesus says in connection with this declaration that He is the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 2 and 5, here as it describes the one who is not the shepherd, it says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. For to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Excuse me, it's later down in verse 13 that it'll describe the one that's not the shepherd. But here he describes the one who enters the door is the shepherd. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. I'd like us to notice in this element of the reading in John chapter 10 that it indicates to us not only that the shepherd knows his sheep, not only that the shepherd provides for the sheep, but it is the shepherd that guides the sheep from one place to another. The shepherd that directs the sheep. Why is it that so often in Scripture this figure is used of his flock or his people as a flock of sheep? I think one reason is because sheep, from what I understand, I've never been around them very much, but from what I understand, they are very susceptible and dependent upon guidance. They don't know what to do. They're not just going in their own direction. They need someone to guide them. Look over in our songbooks. Turn to number 391. 391. I'd like us to sing together another song that talks to us about this idea of the guidance that comes to us through Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Number 391.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy fruits prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, thou art children when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear thy children when they pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Early let us seek Thy favor. Early let us do Thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with Thy love our bosom fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
He guides us. The Good Shepherd guides us in our way. I think that's an important thing for us to understand. We mentioned a few moments ago that sheep, from all that I've been told about them, and maybe you can correct me if you know more about this, is they don't really have within them that guidance, that direction that would just take them where they need to go. You know, a lot of animals are not necessarily that way. A lot of animals do have, because of the creation of God, an instinct within them. I have been amazed at some of the things that you can study about God's creation. You can have, from what I understand, a kangaroo that is capable, when that fetus is first conceived, of climbing into a position where it needs to go and latching onto the nipple of its mother to begin to feed. You can have a giraffe that, from the moment it is born, is able to walk. You can't even see that in children. Certainly it will take them quite some time. You know, when we think about human beings, we must recognize that we are not put in a position like animals in which we just have an instinct that directs us, that tells us exactly what we ought to do. In fact, Scripture declares as much in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. It's just not within us. This whole idea that so many have, that's such a part of Eastern religion, that if you just tap into some inner deity within, you'll be able to unlock all sorts of things. You'll be able to attain some higher nirvana. You can try all day and it's not going to work. We are dependent upon the guidance of our shepherd. In Psalm 73 and verse 24, you will guide me with your counsel. He's the shepherd that guides us. The real question, though, in each of our lives is, will we let him guide us? The song that we just sang, I appreciate the sentiment of it, because it's really an appeal not to God to do something he's not already doing, but rather it is a reminder to us to perceive him as our shepherd, to submit ourselves to his guidance and to his leadership. Well, I want us to look at one last idea, and then the lesson will be yours. And that is back in the text that we looked at in John chapter 10. Remember in verse 11, it described the fact that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And what's interesting about that, in a number of different passages that Jesus will use this figure, he will from time to time describe that willingness to lay down his life for the sheep, even at the risk of jeopardizing the 99, that he might bring back that one that was lost. Turn in your songbooks to number 123. Number 123. I am not certain that I've ever heard this song sung here. Maybe it has been. It's been a long time since I've sung it, and as I was working on this, I tried to remind myself of the tune. If I get off a little bit, if you know it, please just keep going. But I think this certainly expresses that idea of the great lengths to which the shepherd is willing to go to rescue those sheep that are lost. Number 123. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer,
this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Far out in the desert heard its cry. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that marks out the mountain's track? They are shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are the hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains thunder rip, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven. Rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed on the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
Thank you. A couple of those verses a little challenging to me, but I appreciate your help on that. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, demonstrated his ultimate leadership, his ultimate guidance of the flock, by his willingness to die for the flock. In our reading in John chapter 10, we noticed in verses 12 and 13 a contrast that Jesus makes between himself and the hireling. Remember, he said that the hireling does not lay down his life for the sheep. In fact, when threat comes, the hireling will run away. And you'll notice in the reading there, specifically, he explains why the hireling will run away. He does not care about the sheep. I think that's very telling. The hireling was not willing, like the shepherd, to invest his money in the flock, to invest his time, or the same degree of affection. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll get there eventually. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'd like us to end our thoughts tonight by looking in verses 17 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. And I'd like us to think about what is said here, particularly in light of this declaration in John 10, that the shepherd lays down his life for the flock. What does Peter tell us about this? Begin with me in verse 17. It says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver, gold, from aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Now you will notice in this reading that the word shepherd is not found, at least if I'm reading it correctly, and at least from my translation. You did notice, however, that as it describes the sacrifice that Jesus offered there in verse 19, it actually speaks of him as the lamb without spot and without blemish. But I want you to notice that here, even though it doesn't describe Jesus as the shepherd laying down his life, that's really the emphasis. Verses 18 and 19, he redeemed us by his precious blood. We'll notice there in verse 23 that we may be born again by the word of God that lives and abides forever. And verse 22 describes that means by which our souls can be purified by obedience to the truth. Will we follow the shepherd? If you're here tonight and you stand outside of Jesus Christ, I would call to your attention and have you to recognize that you are not in submission to Jesus, the good shepherd. He is the one that knows you, and you can be known by him if you will love him and keep his commandments. He is the one that guides you in a way that no one else can. He is the one that can provide for you in a way that no one else can, because he's the one that laid down his life for you as no one else can. If you would tonight, put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, confessing that faith before men, repenting of the sin that separates you from God, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, the Lord will add you to his body, the church. If as a child of God you stumbled and you've fallen away and you'd like to ask for the prayers of the brethren here, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.